Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 36. Asamshayatmana Yogo Dusprapyeti Memeti Vashatmana Tu Yatata Sakyo Vaptum Upayata Asamyata, unbridled, Atmana, by the mind, Yoga, self-realization, Dushprapya, Dushprapa, difficult to obtain, Iti, thus, May, my, mati, opinion, vasha, control, atmana, by the mind, to, but, yatata, while endeavoring, shakya, practical, apraptum, to achieve, upayata, by appropriate means. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work, but he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is a sure success. That is my opinion. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendent loving service of the Lord. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the results of yoga practice without separate endeavor, but a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. Samyatatmana yoga dushprapyiti memati Ashatmana tu yatata sakyo vaptum upayata. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work, but whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is a sure success. That is my opinion. This is uncompromising, that the only way of actually controlling the mind is to engage in Krishna's transcendent loving service. There's no other way. And that's the whole secret of making tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness, is to accept that. As it says, that the definition of faith, shara shabde vishvasakahe sudrida vishchai krishna bhakti kaila sarva karma kritahai. That the shraddha shabde vishvasikahe, that the actual definition of faith is that faith has to be firm. Vishvasa means firm. Shraddha shabde, the word shraddha or faith means, shraddha shabde vishvasikahe means firm faith. Any other faith is actually not faith. Outside of Krishna consciousness, people have no real faith, because without Krishna consciousness, one cannot have any full realization, reality. Without a full realization, reality, then how can one have faith? One will always be doubtful. Just like Krishna says that our body is changing, but we're not changing. Now, intellectually, to some degree or another, we may accept the fact that, yes, my body is changing. Most rational people, and there are not very many of them, but most rational people would actually accept the fact that their body is changing. As strange as it seems, as soon as you tell people that your body is changing, they think you're trying to trap them into some kind of religious dogma. Even so, something as simple as telling people that your body is changing, people will become suspicious of what you're trying to prove. And then if you tell them that you yourself within your body, you're not changing, you had a 5-year-old body, you had a 15-year-old body, that they're, many of them, or some of them will accept it, rarely they'll accept it. And then after, those who don't accept it will become actually disturbed that you're trying to trap them into some kind of religious dogma. Is that correct? Does anyone have that experience? You tell people you're not there, usually people don't respond. Just like Prabhupada was saying about reincarnation at one conference in South Africa, explaining that about transmigration of the soul, that the soul is changing bodies, but the soul is not changing. And one Indian gentleman immediately objected and saying, was also part of the conference, said, "Swamiji, why are you introducing this Hindu doctrine of transmigration of the soul?" So Prabhupada said, it's actually not a Hindu doctrine. It's not that 5,000 years ago, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna and said, "My dear Arjuna, that we're on this battlefield and many people will die, so maybe we should speak some philosophy because you seem a little nervous." Well, it's very opportunity, very auspicious, we're on this battlefield, because I'm a Hindu god. And luckily, you're also a Hindu. So let me tell you some Hindu philosophy. So according to Hindu philosophies, all Hindus have bodies that change. Unfortunately, Hindus' bodies change. Nothing we can do about that. As soon as you become a Hindu, you have a body that changes. But luckily, unlike everyone else, Hindus have souls. So when the Hindus' bodies change and they have to leave them, luckily the soul gets another body. Hindus who accept my philosophy because I'm a Hindu god, they're not bewildered by all these changes. So Prabhupada said it's actually not a Hindu doctrine, it's a science. Everyone has a body that's changing. Everybody, everything in the material world is changing. And if someone doesn't accept that, well, good luck. There's no need to talk to you about it. That please, you know, live with your philosophy. We respect it and we may not agree with it, but that's as far as we go explaining anything to you. But those who are accepting that the material world is changing, then we say, well, we can remember having a 5-year-old body, we had a 15-year-old body, so the body is completely different, but the person who's remembering is still the same person. So this is called knowledge. Now, those who don't accept it, we have to understand from our point of view that their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. And we also understand that our intelligence has also been taken away by illusion, because although we accept it to some degree, we don't fully accept it. Isn't that right? Don't we understand it to some degree? That's why we're here, but we don't fully accept it. Otherwise, if we fully accept it, then fully accepted this whole science, then we'd be out of the bodily concept of life. So because we're in the bodily concept of life, to some degree or another, therefore we can understand that we haven't fully accepted it. So we're not on the stage of Vishvasa, Kahe. We're not at the stage of complete faith. We have some faith, and the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of developing that faith. Adau, Shara, Sarasanga, Tyabhajna, Kriya, Tanarta, Nivritti, Syat, Tata, Ruchi, Satob, Sakti, Sata, Bhavo, Praduchiti, Sadakanamanayam Premna, Pradur Bhave Bhavat Krama. So Bhavat Krama means the process is step by step, and as one advances, then the faith becomes more Vishvasa, it becomes more firm. And what is that faith? Shraddha Shabde Vishvasakahe Sudrida Nischai Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hai. That simply by fully engaging ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then we'll receive all realization. Everything will come to us. So that, here it says, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendent loving service to the Lord. So that's also our philosophy. That's what we're practicing our philosophy for, that smarta vyaksaratam vishnur vismartak jatuna kinchit sarva vidini sedyasyur etiyar eva kinkara. That our goal is smarta vyaksaratam vishnur. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. That's all the nishedas and all the vidis are all culminate in those two things. But that's only possible when we accept our philosophy. And that is, everything here belongs to Krishna, and everything is meant to utilize in Krishna's service to please him, and we can only find out what Krishna wants by referring to Guru Sadhana Shastra, and as the super soul in the heart, he confirms what Guru Sadhana Shastra is saying, and when we do that out of love for Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself, and we remember Krishna. Now, to remember how everything belongs to Krishna is also remembering Krishna, but it's incomplete. To remember how we should inquire from Krishna's representatives and do what they want us to do is also a further advancement, but it's also not complete. To do everything out of love for Krishna, to please Krishna, under Krishna's guidance and his directions of his representatives, that's complete Krishna consciousness. We can say one, as Prabhupada said in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, blind, following, and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So by submission, we're accepting that something belongs to Krishna. By inquiry, we're finding out what Krishna wants. By surrender and doing service, then we're actually accepting the whole package, which is called bhakti yoga. Then we actually can come to the stage of full faith. Then we can actually think of Krishna all the time, not because of the force, our power of remembrance. I can give you 100 ways of remembering things. Matter of fact, I used to teach it. The VIHE, how to remember the Krishna book. And in the Krishna book, it recommends we do it. Unfortunately, it won't help us very much. It may help us a little bit, but it won't help us very much because the basic principle is bhakti, is love. Not just remembering Krishna like a parrot, but it's love. And if we love Krishna, then we'll automatically remember him. And if we just remember Krishna without love, it won't do us any very much good. We can do us some good. We might merge in Brahman or something like that. But like Kamsa did. But it won't help us. So the basic principle is love. And by love, by service, by submissive inquiry, then the truth is revealed to us. Now if we think that by my prowess and by my energy and by my good qualities, my good karma, I'm going to become Krishna conscious, then we missed out on the basic principle, the fundamental principle, which is Amadidvam, Adambidvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam, Acharya, Pasanam, Socham, Stiryam, Atma, Vinigraha. That everything begins with humility. That Chetasa, Sarva, Karmani, Maya, Sanyasya, Matparaha, Buddhi, Yogama, Pashitya, Matsitak, Satatam, Bhava. And all activities depend upon me, Krishna says. Now, if we think we're going to make advancement without depending upon Krishna, we're going to be proven quite wrong, at least not in spiritual life, that everything depends upon that feeling of surrender to Krishna, of dependency upon Krishna. And even we become liberated souls and we go back to the spiritual world, That's what's being cultivated there, that feeling of dependency. Even Srimati Radharani is developing that feeling of dependency upon Krishna. Not that she's taking over Krishna. And even if she commands Krishna, directs Krishna, it's only to please him. It's only out of love that she knows will be pleasing to him. Otherwise, as I said, sometimes in the spiritual world, Radharani's anxious, Srimati Radharani's anxious to meet Krishna, not for her pleasure, but she thinks that Krishna can't be happy unless she tries to please him. She knows that. And therefore she's always anxious, not for her own pleasure, but for Krishna's pleasure, to go and serve him. And when she's so anxious, sometimes her servant is dressing her, and she's saying, hurry up, you know, Krishna's waiting for me. And then she said, I can't wait any longer. And she gets up and leaves to go and meet Krishna. And then she stops and thinks, she tells her maidservant, are you sure Krishna really wants to see me? In other words, she becomes doubtful whether she's even worthy to actually, whether Krishna's actually even going to be satisfied seeing her. And then her maidservant has to encourage her to go and meet Krishna. Although she's so anxious to please Krishna, but still she doesn't feel herself qualified to even please Krishna. No, it's a very, to understand this thing requires a certain amount of advancement. But that should be our attitude. As Prabhupada once said in one lecture when he was installing Rukmini Dwarkadish, and he was explaining about Rukmini Dwarkanath, the little deity from Los Angeles. He was talking about Madan Mohan, how Sanatana Goswami was hanging him within a tree. And Madan Mohan, this is in Vrindavan 500 years ago. Vrindavan was not, there was no Loya Bazaar. There were no rickshaws. There were no buildings, practically speaking. And Sanatana Goswami was living underneath a tree. He had no means. He was just begging for some roti. Roti meant you take some flour, if you can get some flour, and then you mix a little water into it and throw it into fire. There were no practically stoves. Half baked, half cooked, half raw. And that's called a roti. And Sanatana Goswami would go and beg with those things. So Madan Mohan, he wanted to go and live with Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami said, well, I can't really promise you very nice accommodations or nice food. He said, no worries, you're my devotee. I'll be happy with whatever you can give me. So Sanatana Goswami put Madan Mohan on a branch of a tree. And Madan Mohan was quite surprised. He never remembered living on a branch before. And every day Sanatana Goswami would go and offer one half-cooked roti, Madan Mohan. So one day, Madan Mohan, he couldn't take it anymore. And he started to complain. He said, Sanatana Goswami, he said, every day you're just offering me this dry roti. Couldn't you give me at least a little salt on the roti? And Sanatana Goswami said, well, he said, I'm a poor man, I can hardly ever move. Another lecture brother said, now you're asking for salt, next day you're going to ask for sweets. He said, I'm a poor man, I can hardly move. Whatever I have, I'm offering to you. Please accept it. And then Prabhupada said, and Madan Mohan, he had to eat it. Because it's being offered by the bhakta, by the head of love. And then Prabhupada said, but what is your qualification? And what is the qualification of the things that you have? The real thing is bhakti. Krishna, kindly take. I have no qualification, I'm rotten, I'm fallen, but I'm offering this to you. And then Prabhupada started to cry. And he said, don't be puffed up, always remember that you're dealing with Krishna, that is my advice to you, thank you. So that should be our attitude. If we want to remember Krishna, it's not going to be done by some mechanical method. Remember Krishna out of love, or Krishna appearing to us. We can remember Krishna, just like we can come and see the deities. But unless the deities reveal themselves to us, we're not really seeing them. And the deities reveal themselves to us out of love. And love means love for Krishna, love for his devotees, serving him, his compassion to help the innocent, and avoiding those who are antagonistic towards Krishna. That's how we show our love for Krishna and in our present state. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. It seems very difficult, if even for the first step of Shraddha, one needs such a high realization of one's spiritual nature. So what's our hope of advancing? Of Shraddha Shabda Vishwaskara Sudrida Nishchai, complete conviction, I'm not the body.
Well, that's not, I mean, it's complete conviction that Krishna is the God and that everything else is revealed. What's the hope? Well, if you take to the process, then Maya will always tell you that there's no hope. But Rupa Goswami said, we're hoping against hope. So, what is that?
Ashabandha.
Ashabandha Samudkanta, I've seen. Bhakti Vari, no, that's not.
Shanti.
Shanti Avyakta Kala Dvam Virakta Manushunyataha Ashabandha Samudkanta. So we're hoping against hope. That should be our attitude. That's one of the qualifications. If we think, well, you know, it's an easy process, it's in my back pocket, you know, as soon as I chant Hare Krishna, Krishna's going to come before me dancing. Then we've missed out. On the other hand, if we don't have faith in the acharyas and their instructions to us, that if we follow the process, then success is assured, as it says. Then we also have to have both simultaneously. Hoping against hope and faith that by their mercy, Krishna is very kind, by their mercy, then we'll achieve the result at the end. And if we're not getting the result, then rather than blame it on Krishna, we should examine how sincerely I'm following the process. It's very easy to blame everything on Krishna, that he's unresponsive, or the process doesn't work. The question is whether we're actually following the process or not. All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.